It's a tremendous privilege for us to hear God's word this morning. Pastor Emmanuel brought us God's word, and God spoke to us, and now God wants also to speak to us. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 7. Specifically, our text this morning is verse 10, but for the sake of context, I'll read from verse 1. Ezra chapter 7. Here's the reading of God's word. Now, after this, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra the son of Seraiah, son of Azariah, son of Hilkiah, son of Shalom, son of Zadok, son of Ahitab, son of Amaliah, son of Azariah, son of Meraioth, son of Zerahiah, son of Uz, son of Buk, son of Abishua, son of Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the high priest. This Ezra went up from Babylonia. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, that the Lord, the God of Israel, had given, and the king granted him all that he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. And there went up also to Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king, some of the people of Israel, and some of the priests and Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For on the first day of the first month, he began to go up from Babylonia. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, for the good hand of God was on him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Lord, we have come with open hearts. Speak to us, Lord. Help us understand your word and grant us the grace to apply the truths in our lives. Praying, Lord God, that these things will not be just in our head, but they'll be in our heart. We're not going to receive these words as the words of man, but as your word. For your glory, Lord, and also for our joy. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In his autobiography, Charles Haddon Spurgeon stops talking about himself and about his life for a moment. And he makes a plea to his readers, and he calls them to immerse themselves in the things of Scripture. And if you look at our day, our people's biblical illiteracy, how seldom the words of God are upon the lips of the people. If this was something Spurgeon had to impress on his audience, and certainly that is also what we need to hear this morning. Though we have multiple sources of truth, spiritual resources available to us, but we seem still to be people who are ignorant. How is it then we come to that knowledge? How is it then we become a learned people? What is it that Spurgeon is calling us to do? What Spurgeon is calling us to do, he's calling us to plumb the depths of God's word. He's calling us to examine and search the Scriptures. This is what he says. All that you and I might get into the very heart of the word of God and get that word into ourselves. He uses this illustration: as I have seen the silkworm eat into the leaf and consume it, so are we to do with the word of the Lord. Not crawl over its surface, but eat right into it till we have taken its innermost parts. It is idle merely to let the eye glance over the words or to recollect the practical expression or the historical facts. But it is blessed to eat into the very soul of the Bible until at last you come to talk in scripture language and your very style is fashioned upon scripture models. And what is better still, your spirit is flavored with the words of the Lord. And Spurgeon continues, he gives us how this immersion, this injection in deep things of scripture works like. And also he points us to John Bunyan. And he says, I would call John Bunyan as an instance of what I mean. Read everything of his and you will see it is like reading the Bible itself. Prick him anywhere, his blood is bibline. The very essence of the Bible flows from him. He cannot speak without quoting a text, or his very soul is full of the word of God. I commend his example to you, beloved. And this is also what I commend to you, the example of John Bunyan and also even Charles Spurgeon himself. If you have read sermons about John, written by Charles Spurgeon, you're also going to see that even in his sermons, you know that this man also bled bibline. This is the virtue as a church we need to get to. We need to be the people of the book. If these things can be said of Charles Spurgeon and also even John Bunyan, the same things can also said about the man that we have read, Ezra. Ezra was a man well versed in scriptures. He was a man who loved the word of God. He was given to the scriptures. If you want to talk of a man who has been immersed in scripture, then it is this man. It is Ezra. And the text that we have read comes after the events that are happening here. They are coming after the post-exilic period, after the children of Israel have gone to captivity because of their disobedience. God judged them. He brought Nebuchadnezzar and brought them to captivity, took them out of their nation, the nation of Israel. And we see the departure from Israel to Babylon. It happened in three waves. The first wave was in 605 BC, and the second one was in 597 BC, and the last one was in 586 BC, and which marked also the destruction of Jerusalem. But though God was prophesying through his prophets that judgment is going to come and they're going to be taken to captivity, he also promised that he's going to bring them back after 70 years. And we see that God also remembering that he's coming again to bring them back to Jerusalem. And the return also happened also in three stages. The first return happened with the leadership by Zerubbabel. And that is what is happening from chapter 1 to chapter 6. The first return was led by Zerubbabel. And 60 years later, then the second group of people returned. And that is the text that we have read, led by Ezra. And then later, after 13 years, after Ezra had returned, we see another group also returning. That is the group that was led by Nehemiah. But this morning, we are on the second return, the inverts that happened during the second return that was led by Ezra himself. So who is this Ezra? So from verses 1 to 5, we see that they're giving us the background of Ezra, and he is the person who is coming from a priestly ancestry. He has been traced back to Aaron the priest, and Ezra is the priest of God. Ezra has descended from the priestly lineage, and he is himself also a priest of God. We see in the same chapter 7, going downwards, living, we see even the king in his decree, he's referring to him as the priest of God, the priest of God. And the duty of the priest was also to teach God's word. Apart from leading worship and also offering sacrifices, we see one of the duties of the priest was also to teach God's word. And Ezra was such a man who was also passionate to teaching the word of God. And also, not only that, we see also Ezra was a scribe in verse 6. It says, he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses. He was not only a priest, but he was also a scribe. And these were the writers. These were just not the writers, but the keepers and registrars of public documents. They were responsible in temple treasuries, sent on important missions, and also they were doing negotiations involving foreign languages. They were also involved even in interpreting scriptures. In Persia, they were also employed even in high offices of the government and the provincial courts. It is suggested that Ezra was a secretary of the state for Jewish affairs at a Persian court. But one thing that stands out in this text is not Ezra's personal ancestral origin or his professional. But what stands out in this text is about his piety, his personal piety. You would see that Ezra was a man who loved God and who loved God's word. And even if you are reading the book, you are going to see after 60 years have passed, a lot of things have changed. After the first group returned to Israel, things were well, things were okay. The temple has been built, worship has been restored. But now, after 60 years, we hear that now sin started to get grip of the people. And if you read chapter 9, chapter 10, you're going to see that they have started doing what God forbid them to do. They have now started intermarrying the people that they are not supposed to intermarry. So now God is looking for someone to send who is perfect to do the job of reformation. And he's now finding this man, Ezra. He's sending Ezra because Ezra is a man who loved God and who loved his word. And if you are reading this book, one thing that you are going to see is that a true reformation comes with the word of God. And if people are to be transformed truly, their lives changed, then it begins with the word of God. And God is choosing Ezra because this one is a perfect man for that job. And you see verse 9, it says that for them to travel took them 4 months. But one thing that is pointed out is that the hand of the Lord was upon him. The hand of the Lord was upon him. And throughout the book, we are going to see verse 6, verse 9, verse 28, also chapter 8, verse 18, verse 22, and verse 31. That statement is coming over and over again. The hand of the Lord was upon him. The hand of the Lord was upon him. What made Ezra to be successful? What made Ezra that he should gain the favor of God? And that is our text this morning. That is our text. One of the things that we need to understand is that Ezra achieved great things and made a significant impact because he had the right starting place, the word of God. Read with me verse 10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. The logic of this verse is impeccable. There were three things that Ezra was committed to doing, and he had them in perfect order. Like 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. In fact, Ezra had them in the only order that makes sense. he had set his heart to studying the scriptures, and secondly, he had set his heart to practice the scriptures, and lastly, he has set his heart to teach the scriptures. And from this text, I'm going to speak three things we must do to be used of God. We are going to talk about three things that we must do to be used of God. And the first one is study the scriptures. Study the scriptures. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord. Ezra had purposed it in his heart to study the law of God. He resolved to study. He was diligent. He gave time to seek the scriptures. He purposed it in his heart. This was a devotion that seeks deep understanding of scriptures. This is not just being contented with you just reading your Bible that day. This was an intense Bible study. Ezra had committed himself to doing that. We do not know his study habits, but we know he was skilled in the law of Moses. His delight was in what? In the law of the Lord. Since he was raised in a family of priests, we know even from childhood he has been learning the scriptures. He has been learning the scriptures. He was spending hours each day reading the Bible, pondering its meaning, and discussing even its implications with others. You know, even traditions say that he memorized even the whole law. He memorized even the whole law. The unrelenting ambition of his life was to know the word of God. Even there's a reason, even Psalm 19, the longest chapter in the Bible that celebrates the word of God, is even attributed to him. He was the man of the book. This is not just a casual reading just to fulfill a daily schedule. Some other times we just read, maybe that we should not feel guilty. Maybe that's not you, but that's me most of the times. But this was not the kind of study that Ezra was involved in. This involves reading and rereading and rereading of the scriptures. It involves even memorizing, meditating on scriptures. Ezra was doing what God commanded Joshua to do. Let the book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate it day and night. That is why he was even able to accomplish what he was able to accomplish. His duty demanded that he should do that. And also because he loved the Lord. He loved God, and then he loved God's word. He wanted to know his will and to serve him faithfully. As a teacher of the law, studying was essential even for his ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul is also encouraging Timothy because of his leading role in the church. Second Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, lightly handling the word of truth." Being a teacher, his ministry depended on him giving himself to studying, searching the scriptures. Why study the word of God? Why should we also give ourselves to studying the scriptures? We have to study God's word because that is the only way we are going to know God's will for our lives. For us to relate with him, even for us to worship him well, we need to know him. We need to know his will. And we cannot understand God's word if we are not given ourselves to studying the scriptures. If we are not given to deep studying. You know, this word gives us wisdom for living. It speaks to everyone at every level. Despite of age, circumstances. When we know and understand God's word, we will navigate life easily. We will not be blind. The word becomes our light. When we have studied the scriptures and we are seeing, though we are understanding those truths, they become our light. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it will make sense to us. We are going to be a people who are equipped for every good work when we have studied the scriptures, when we have understood the scriptures. Someone may object, that is the work for pastors. Ezra was a priest. I'm not a priest. But if we would say that Ezra had to do this because he's a priest, then that is also what you are supposed to do. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he's arguing that we are also what? We are also priests. And even during the period of Reformation, this was also the issue. The Catholic Church has taken the Bible away from people. It was supposed to be only with priests. But the Reformers, they were fighting against that. They were fighting for the priesthood of the saints. Every Christian was supposed to have a copy of the Bible. Why? Because we are also what? We are also priests. And that is why we are supposed to own a copy of the Bible. And not only just we should own it, but we should study it. We should know it deeply. We should not be contented with just knowing little. Because most of us, we are just contented that I know some other things. But as Christians, our walk with God, our proper worship depends on us being deeply immersed in the scriptures, knowing the scriptures deeply. Is that our thinking? Or is that our posture? You know, most of us, we think like serious study of scriptures is for who? For pastors. For those who are in vocational ministry. But for our walk with the Lord, for success in our walk with the Lord, it depends on our knowledge of the scriptures. We should know the word of God deeply. We should know the word of God deeply. You know, even it happens some other times, Abu Sabira, and he begins speaking some other things that we do not know or things that are hard, we just say them. But if we are to be faithful Christians, we don't only have to believe in sola scriptura, but we also have to believe in tota scriptura. That every part of the Bible is important. That you should know and understand the whole Bible. We should be on that quest. What you don't know and God has placed on your heart, or it has been said here and you don't have more information about it, what should you do? You should go searching scriptures. So that you should not be ignorant of the word of God. You know, fruitfulness in our walk with the Lord will come when we have understood God's word. That is what even Jesus Christ is saying. Jesus Christ is saying about the seed that fell on the road. Said the seed that fell on the Lord, they are like people who hear God's word. And because they do not understand it, the wicked one comes and take it away from what? From their hearts. The same thing, if we are not able to understand the scriptures, they will not make any sense to us. And there will be no reason for us to apply something that we don't understand. If we are giving ourselves to the serious study of scriptures, we are going to be able to understand God's word. And application of God's word, it begins from there. Our understanding of God's word. You know, the goal of studying is not just we should have these big heads, that we should just have this knowledge. The end of studying is not knowledge itself, but it is worship. If we are to worship God properly, if we our devotion to be faithful, then it depends on our knowledge of His Word. And that also brings us to the second point. Not only Ezra set his heart to study, that he should just know the law of God, but he also set his heart to what? To do it. He set his heart to do it. He was not just only contented that he knew the Bible, he knew the law, he knew the Torah. He was not contented with that. Ezra was not just a man of the word in his head. He was a man of the word in practice. He purposed in his heart to obey the law. That is why he was a man God chose to use to lead his people back to himself. God used him because the word of God was a reality in his life. He was living the word of God. He was not just studying for information, but he was studying for worship. He made the word of God a rule for his own life. One man commented and said, "So the scripture says that he set his heart to do the law that he had studied. This meant loving the Lord his God with all his strength and loving his neighbor as himself. It meant keeping the Ten Commandments. It meant following all the regulations for priestly holiness and public worship. It meant doing everything he could to live by God's law." You know, Ezra understood that the only true theology is what? Is applied theology. The only true theology is applied theology. He was unlike most of us today. Even that is why the king even chose him. Because he was a man who was living by what he professes. One of the things that hinders us being effective in this world, to be used of God, is because we don't practice what we profess that we believe. And may God help us. It has been said over and over in this church that our problem is not what? It's not information. We know a lot. We are not excelling and we're not even growing in our walk with Lord. We are still where we used to be because we are slow to obey God's word. We are slow to obey God's word. The only way we can be effective in this world is when we know and also what? Do. That is what Jesus Christ is saying on John chapter 13, verse 17. He says, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Blessed are you if you do them. James is also saying the same thing. We should not only be the hearers of God's word only, but we should also be what? We should also be the doers of God's word. Another man also said, "All study of the truth without work must in the end be futile and become the cause of sin." All study that we can do is useless if we are not putting them into practice. What good is it to study the Bible unless we also live by it? What good is it to know all these life-changing truths and not be changed by them, and not be transformed by them? Study that does not aim at transformation is useless. The word of God is powerful enough to mold us into the people that God wants. To be people who are reliable and dependable for a greater cause. It depends on us studying the scriptures and also putting those things that we have studied into practice. Our success in what we do, in our walk with the Lord, wherever we are, It depends on our knowledge of God's word plus obedience. You cannot do what you don't know. Even that is what even God commanded Moses on Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Even Joshua, as the leader of God's people, his success depended on him meditating on the scriptures and also what? Doing everything that is written in it. If we are to be effective Christians wherever we are, at our workplaces, as students, in our business places, then we have to be a people that are practicing God's word, that are faithful to the scriptures in doing what the scriptures are telling us to do. If we are to please God and even to glorify God in what we do, we need the word of God into practice. We need the word of God into practice. You know, wherever God has placed you, God has placed you providentially there. You know, we don't need to be pastors for us to be used by God. You know, some other times we have that thinking that God is using those people who are in vocational ministry. Those are the people that God is using. But God wants to use us everywhere we are. If you're a student, God wants to use you where you are. Wherever you work, workplace is, God wants to use you there. And the pastors here are here just to equip us so that we can be effective in our ministry where God has placed us. That is what Ephesians chapter 4, 11 says. God has given us all these gifts to equip the saints for what? For the work of ministry. And for us to be effective in our ministry wherever we are, it depends on our knowledge of God's word through studying the scriptures and also our obedience to the scriptures. What is the basis for the obedience of God's word? Why do we need to obey God's word? One thing is clear, he is Lord. He is Lord. He is the master. If we are to be indifferent to his commands, then there are consequences. There are consequences. This is the same thing that brought them into captivity. Disobedience, rebellion to God's commands. He is the Lord over all, and he demands obedience from us. Matthew 7 says, "Not everyone who say to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father in heaven." And somewhere also Jesus Christ is saying, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I command you to do?" The basis for our obedience to God is because he is Lord over all. And our success in our walk with him, our success in what God has called us to do, is our study of scriptures as well as obedience to scriptures. And not only that, there's also another thing, the last point. Ezra chapter 7. Not only that, the success of Ezra depended on his study or practice, but also teaching. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. At this point, I'll just call Emmanuel to bring again the teaching that he brought in the morning. Notice as well the scope of Ezra's vision for ministry. He wanted to teach God's law in Israel. He wanted to teach his entire nation with the word of God. He wanted to reach out the entire nation with the word of God. He saw that he had a responsibility to the wider spiritual community. It was his calling and privilege to spend long periods of time studying the scriptures. But this was not for his benefit alone. The studying of God's word, it was not just for himself alone. Yes, it was for his worship, for his relationship with God, because of his love for God, but also his desire was to teach others the word of God, that they may come to knowledge, to know the will of God. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we see he called the whole nation of Israel and he led the law of God, and then he explained it. He explained it so that those people should understand God's word. He had a passion for the glory of God. He wanted the name of God to be honored among the peoples. As priests of God, even us, that is also our duty, to teach and preach the word of God. We don't only study for ourselves, but even also for others. And that teaching doesn't mean that everyone of us should be doing like what I'm doing right now. Because not everyone can do what I'm doing right now. But we are called to what? To teach and preach God's word. We are called to defend the word of God. The great commission that Emmanuel brought to us. Every Christian, if you have placed faith in Jesus Christ, you are called to preach, to witness Christ, and also to do what? To disciple others. That is what God has called us to do. You know, the problem is that the people that know the word of God, the people that have the truth, we are what? We're just idle. We are not vocal in evangelism, in missions. We are just content with just learning these truths and just keeping these things to ourselves. But that was not Ezra. Ezra was a man who was committed to know the scriptures, yes, for his walk with the Lord, but also that he should also teach his nation. He should bring the word of God to the nation of Israel. You know, some other times we are afraid even to witness because we are afraid that we are going to meet people that are going to ask us questions. We are afraid that we are going maybe to meet with a devoted Muslim. Some other times those are our fears. But if we are to be people who are well versed in scriptures, we are not going to be afraid of who we are going to meet. We are going to be all over preaching the gospel. If we are to effectively reach out to others, to other people, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have first to spend time studying what? The scriptures. And not only studying the scriptures, but also applying it in our own lives. Then we are going to be able to reach out to people. You know, you may have a friend who is a Jehovah's Witness. What should you do about it? Study the scriptures for what? For his sake or her sake. You may have someone who is a Muslim, a devoted Muslim, and you're afraid reaching them because of the things that they're going to say. Then you have to spend time studying, reading the scriptures. Know about the Trinity. Know about the doctrine of scriptures. Know about the deity of Jesus Christ. and be able even to defend those truths to what? To them. You should be able to articulate biblical doctrines. But most of us, we are not able to do that because we are not committed to studying the scriptures. Because we are just leaving it for Azbusa. But the reality is that God is going to use those people who have been equipped, those who have been prepared. And if you are to be used by God, then you have to be serious with your Bible study. Not just content with that you have read the Bible that day, then it is well. But we have to spend time, countless hours, studying the scriptures. And then leaving the scriptures. And then bring them to those who God has placed on our hearts to hear the word of God. Lastly, all these things are easy to apply. Like Ezra, you are called to be a student of God's word. We are all called to study God's word and to do it. And as we have the opportunity even to teach others, those God has brought into contact with. This means spending time reading the Bible every day, memorizing the Bible, meditating on it. Not just that we should have the head knowledge, but in a devotion way, nurturing our love relationship with Jesus Christ. It means meditating on scripture and memorizing it, keeping it in our heart. You know, some other times you meet people and they say, "Inendesi maloweza mavesi." But if we are to be serious in studying the scriptures, we are going to be keeping the word of God in our hearts and even in our minds, even for the sake of others that we need to help. The psalmist says, "I kept your word in my heart that I should not sin against you." Keeping the word in your heart, it to some extent also means even memorizing it. There are those words, those verses that God reminds you even during temptation that you may stand against temptation. God reminds you to apply those truths when you are meeting even different circumstances. It also means even paying special attention to new areas of personal obedience. As we are studying the scriptures, we are not just reading, but we are prayerfully leading and paying attention to areas that need obedience, that we need to apply the word of God. We want to do more than study the Bible. We want to live by it. So what is it God is saying to today that I need to put into practice? You are asking yourself those kind of questions. What will he say tomorrow and even a day after that I should live? We should not be content with what we have already attained, but we should strive to grow more and more and more and more, experiencing the fresh power of the word of God. Then once we start living the truth, then and only then can we be trusted even to teach others. Then we are going to be faithful even in discipling other people that God has given us. You know, we have to understand that the goal of our studies is not just for our own benefit, but it is also even for the benefit of others. The knowledge we gain in sacred trust that God has given you in order that you might give it away. You are studying, you are growing in knowledge, in your walk with the Lord, so that you can also be a blessing to someone. So I call to you that you should set your heart to study the word of God. and do it and teach it to wherever God calls you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that, Lord God, you have given us these truths, life-changing truths, hope-bringing truths, salvation-bringing truths, Lord God, to us. Praying, Lord God, that you would use these things that we have learned today, in the morning and also even this time, that, Lord God, we're not going to be the same, but we're going to be a transformed people. We're going to be a people that are well immersed in scriptures, that are giving time to Bible study, that we're serious, Lord God, with knowing you and knowing your will, Lord God. And not only that, also that you're going to grant us the grace even to obey those things, to live out those things. And also, Lord God, that we would even witness those things to those people whom you have brought into contact with us, that they may know you, Lord God. Even, Lord God, that we should even help our brothers and sisters to grow, to mature in faith. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.